Hello, welcome to this lesson on one of the most fundamental principles of economics, supply and demand. Whether you realize it or not, supply and demand shape nearly every aspect of our daily life. From the price we pay for groceries, to the availability of housing, from global trade, to your local farmer's market, these forces drive how our resources are distributed in a world of scarcity. At its core, supply and demand explain the relationship between how much of a product or services available, and how much people want it. When supply increases and demand stays the same, prices fall. When demand increases, but that supply remains limited, prices rise. This is simple, yet a powerful principle that affects everything from consumer behavior to national economies. Consider how supply and demand influence prices during a crisis. Think back to the pandemic. Right? It's a recent global event when supply chains were disrupted. Basic goods like food, toilet paper, fuel, and medical supplies became harder to obtain. As a result, prices soared. Conversely, when there is an oversupply, maybe we have a bumper crop of wheat or a new technology that's flooding the market, prices fall. This principle is not new. In fact, we see evidence of supply and demand dynamics throughout scripture. In Genesis 41, we read the story of Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. Joseph predicted 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. What did Joseph do? Well, he stored grain during the plentiful years when supply was high and distributed it wisely when supplies dropped during the famine. This proactive approach stabilized the economy and saved lives. It's a perfect biblical illustration of managing supply and demand over time. Joseph's actions highlight an important lesson. Wise resource management during abundance prepares us for times of scarcity. And this is not just ancient wisdom. It's the foundation of modern economic policy. Governments stockpile resources, businesses manage inventory, and consumers save for the future. Proverbs 21:20 reinforces this wisdom. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. As believers, we are called to practice foresight and stewardship in the face of fluctuating supply and demand. So let's break down the law of supply and demand more formally. Supply refers to the amount of goods or services that producers are willing to offer at various prices. Demand, on the other hand, is the quantity of goods or services that consumers are willing to purchase at those prices. Where these two forces meet is called the equilibrium point, the price at which quantity supplied equals quantity demanded. Understanding this relationship helps us make informed decisions, whether we are setting prices, investing in markets, or managing household budgets. In today's global economy, supply and demand are affected by complex factors. Technological innovation, geopolitical events, and consumer preferences. But as Christians, we must also ask a deeper question. How do our economic choices reflect our faith? Are we using our resources to bless others? And are we advocating for fair pricing, ethical business practices? Micah 6:8 reminds us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These principles apply even in the marketplace. So, as we continue this lesson, think beyond the charts and graphs that we're going to show. Consider how you, as a steward of God's resources, can influence the world by applying the principles of supply and demand with wisdom and integrity. So let's discuss some central components and concepts of economics. In a market economy, the interaction of supply and demand determines the price and quantity of goods and services. Supply represents the producer or seller side of the market. It is the quantity of goods sellers are willing to sell at various prices. Demand represents the consumer or the buyer side of the market. It's the quantity of goods buyers are willing to buy at various prices. On this graph, you can see the example of a supply curve. So when modeling supply and demand, economists frequently use graphs, tables, and equations. A supply curve is a graph showing the relationship between the price of a good, plotted along the vertical line, and the quantity of sellers are willing to supply at each price, plotted along the horizontal line. Supply curves can show supply for a single seller or aggregate supply for all sellers in the market. Supply curves can be straight lines like this one or curves, and they are typically upward sloping. The curves slope upward due to something called the law of supply. An observation that sellers typically want to sell more of their product at higher prices and less at lower prices. Units express a supply curve as a table known as a supply schedule or an equation where quantity supplied is a function of price. On the other side is the demand curve, which is being shown here. A demand curve is a graph showing the relationship between the price of a good and the quantity consumers are willing to buy at each price. Demand curves can also be straight or curved, but they are typically downward sloping. You can draw individual demand curves representing the demand of a single consumer, and you can draw demand market curves showing the aggregate demand across all buyers in the market. Demand curves slope downward because of the demand, because of law of demand. This is the observation that buyers are usually willing to buy more at lower prices and less at higher prices. Their response to price is the opposite of sellers. You can express a demand curve as a table known as a demand schedule or an equation where quantity supplied is a function of price. So how do we understand the law of supply and demand? Well, great question. When we put supply and demand together, we can estimate the price and quantity we expect to emerge in the market. We can do this several ways, but the most basic model of supply and demand is the model of perfect competition. This is a model you'll frequently use in introductory economics courses, and mastering it will help you understand more complex market models. In the model of perfect competition, the market clearing price and quantity, also called the equilibrium price and quantity, are determined by the intersection of the supply and demand. This graph here shows the intersection point representing the equilibrium price. The point of intersection between the supply and demand curves is called the competitive equilibrium or market equilibrium. If you trace this point down to the horizontal quantity axis, you'll find the equilibrium quantity. This is the quantity of goods that we bought and sold in the market. If you trace the competitive equilibrium over the vertical price axis, you'll find the equilibrium price. This is the price that will be charged in the market. The figure above shows a hypothetical market for organic pears. Notice how market demand and market supply curves are sloping in opposite directions following the law of supply and the law of demand. The competitive equilibrium in this market is at point C. If we trace this point down to the horizontal axis, we'll find the equilibrium quantity is equal to 150,000. If we trace the point over to the vertical axis, we find an equilibrium price P equals $1.20 per pair. So this is in a perfect world, but there are factors that affect supply and demand. Some of these factors could be changes in the cost of inputs in production, changes in technology, or even national, natural, or political events. If the price of labor or materials used in production changes, supply will change. Supply will increase when the cost of production falls. If an input price increases, supply decreases. When technology improves, sellers are able to produce their product more efficiently. This causes supply to increase. If there's a negative technological shock, supply decreases. Again, affecting the demand for the products. Natural and political events such as storms, pandemics like COVID, abnormally good or bad weather, sanctions, wars, all these can have effect on the supply and demand of services. The impact of these events will depend on the good or service being sold. So hopefully you found this interesting and this has been able to provide you with a better foundation as you go into your readings for this week. Thank you for joining me. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time as we cover labor and financial markets.